is written to us by Luke. Once when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who are the crowds saying that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. Others that you are one of the prophets risen from the dead." And then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said in reply, "You are the anointed of God." But Jesus rebuked him and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The human one must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and he will be killed, and on the third day he will be raised up." And then he went on. He said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny his or her very self, take up his cross every day, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life must lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is good news from the Lord. I want to refer to the second reading a bit, so let me pull this up. I remember in the late 60s, when I was studying theology, my systematics professor said, "When do you think Jesus' human mind knew that he was God?" Well, we were shocked at the very question. We'd never imagined that. I guess we thought when he was a baby Jesus in Bethlehem, he already knew. And he just went through 30 years of pretend. And he said, "Well, you know, Luke's gospel says he grew in wisdom, age, and grace. Hebrews says that he was like us in every way except sin." So he said, "I think Jesus gradually came to know who he was. Just like you do, and just like I do. It takes a whole lifetime." And we could say that very likely it was only the risen Christ that fully recognized his objective, metaphysical, ontological, philosophical, use whatever word you want, identity. That he had to live in darkness just like you and I do. And this gospel, which is so problematic for so many people, I think reveals that. The word used today is that our identity is socially constructed. And it's probably true. Do you realize the image you have of yourself, who you think you are, and you have to do that, you have to have a self-image, started with how your mother related to you, your father, your family, your neighborhood, your aunts and your uncles, all the later identities you were given by your education, your ethnicity, your gender. And little by little you add them all on. Oh, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. That's why it's so hard to be young. People are just starting to sift through it all. What am I? Who am I? And we're all grabbing at straws to make ourselves important. Now in this gospel we see one who's supposed to know everything clearly saying he doesn't know. Let's put it in our language. I think he's saying to the apostles, "What are people saying about me? What's the press out there? Some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, one of the prophets." He says, "What do you guys think?" And I think Peter hits the nail on the head. And it's almost too true and too much. And perhaps you've had this experience when someone has praised you unduly. And you say, "Oh, no, no, forget it, not me." Jesus rebukes him. "Come on, Peter, don't make me live up to that. that I'm the anointed one of God, translated Messiah. I think he's recognizing, as the further text says, that he has a lot to go through yet of suffering and trial, and only in that is he going to be sure of who he himself is. But he tells them, don't even talk about this, because I'm not sure myself. That's the only way it's just my interpretation, but it's the only way I can understand this gospel. But let's tie it up with this marvelous second reading. I hope you were listening. Many are saying now that they think Galatians might be the oldest of Paul's letters. And in this particular section in the third chapter, he makes a statement that is really quite amazing, especially in a culture where everybody was defined by role and gender and nationality and class. And with one fatal swoop, he's going to give them an absolutely new identity. And I want to point out, he uses the word clothed. There's probably nothing whereby people reveal their protected identity or their accepted identity as much as, believe it or not, the costumes we wear. Look at me, I'm all dressed up, so you have no doubt I'm a priest and I'm a Franciscan, you know? But I better know who I am even when I don't have this costume on. Huh? And you better know who you are, not when you're dressed up or dressed down or dressed Hispanic or dressed gringo or dressed, doesn't matter. He's saying there's only one clothing that matters. And if you've ever attended a baptismal service, you know that we actually symbolically put the white garment. This is your new clothing. This is your new identity. And it surpasses and undercuts any other identity before you're an American, before you're Hispanic, before you're Roman Catholic, before you're gay or straight or old or young or rich or poor. What are you? Now, this is why I can't give up on religion, because only healthy religion is prepared to answer that question. Now, because our people don't have healthy religion very often, they grab at things like Republican or Democrat. I'm for so-and-so, we won't mention names. Or I'm for another. That's not your identity. Give it up. But that's all Americans have, because they don't know that they're clothed in Christ. Through faith, you all are children of God. You are all baptized into Christ. You have clothed yourself in Him, not in the costumes that human culture gives you. In Him, and He's going to undercut now the three big ways people find their identity. Through their ethnic group, through their class, whether upper class, middle class, or lower class, or whether they're male or female or gay. And He says, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Get over your nationality. That isn't going to mean anything when you die. There is neither slave nor free. Get over your class identification. When you die, that means nothing. The billionaires are going to be treated just like the homeless. There is neither male nor female. Even your gender is not your substantial identity. Your identity in Christ, in God, precedes all of those. You are one in Christ Jesus. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that is the most radical social revolution possible? And 2,000 years later, we still haven't got the point. Because most Christians are still, first of all, fighting for their ethnic identity. I'm black, I'm Latino, I'm Anglo, who cares? That's what the gospel says. Who cares? I'm upper class, I'm middle class, I'm lower class. The gospel says, who cares? Means nothing. You are one in Christ Jesus. I'm gay, I'm straight, I'm male, I'm female. Who cares? This is your artificial identity. It isn't going to mean anything in eternity. Who you are in Christ. If you belong to Him, And he goes and reaches back as far as he can to find a substantial identity that cannot be taken from these new Christians. You are descendants of Abraham. That for them is the most primitive identity they can find. And you are heirs. You're in the will. You're in the will of God. You're the heirs of God. Brothers and sisters, that changes everything. But the reason the gospel has not changed everything is frankly because we largely don't preach the gospel. We get caught up in these culture wars. We get caught up in these ethnic identities, class identities, sexual identities. And that's what's going to die when you die. You have been clothed in Christ. And in that, the playing field of reality is absolutely leveled. I don't care how you're dressed. I don't care what class you're from. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care about your sexual identity. All I care about is who you are in God. And that is who you are forever.